Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we're live on the air right now with the Basic Gospel. Keep listening, and you'll hear how the Basic Gospel intersects with your daily life and how the Word of God can help you experience true life and freedom in Christ Jesus. Have a question, something you'd like to talk about? Well, the phone lines are open right now at 1-800-677-9377. Again, 1-800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, the Basic Gospel simply is this: the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's how he saves us. And we really understand, or most of us think we understand, what Christ accomplished through his death on the cross. Here's what John had to say in his first letter. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a propitiation for our sins. So Jesus' act on the cross, his death on the cross, was evidence of God's love. And so if we really want to know what God's love is all about for us, we have to start right there. That was the demonstration of love. If we don't get it from there, we're going to struggle with it for the rest of our lives. So it is important for us to know exactly what Jesus accomplished. And what he accomplished was total forgiveness of sins. When we come to Christ, that's what we receive: total forgiveness of sins. Yeah. Not just for past sins, but for all sins.
Right.
They have all been forgiven on account of his name. That is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
That is indeed good news, and we have good news for you every day on Basic Gospel. 1-800-677-9377. Open lines right now.
Let's go to Virginia and talk to Barbara, listening to us on WAVA. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, how are you?
Just doing fantastic. Nice to hear from you.
Well, I've never heard your show before. I was stuck in traffic and scanning on the radio, and I heard Ruth talking to you about forgiveness.
Yes.
And I have to agree with her. I definitely believe that Jesus did die on the cross to save us from our sins, but I also believe that we need to acknowledge those sins and repent. If we don't, Jesus himself gave us...
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Barbara.
It says in the Lord's Prayer to ask and forgive us our trespasses. He tells us to ask.
Well, I believe that that prayer's already been answered, and it was answered at the cross.
But we have to ask.
Well, Barbara, again, you're making it sound like that Christianity's just a formula. You sin, you feel sorry
ask
God.
No.
Well, that's what it comes across as.
Everyone is sinful.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, Barbara. Let me ask you this. Say you commit a sin and then you die. You didn't have a chance to feel sorry for that sin or to repent of that sin or to ask God to forgive you of that sin. You just died. What happens to you?
I don't know, because I don't know all the answers, but he did die for our sins. But according to the Lord's Prayer, we have to ask for forgiveness. He told us that.
Well, Barbara, that's great. I understand what you're saying. But let me see if I can just broaden your scope just a little bit. There was this prayer, and Jesus modeled that for his disciples, and there were some very specific things that he wanted them to pray for. And I think everything that he was encouraging them to pray for was to help them see the results and the magnitude of his work on the cross on their behalf. So when they prayed for forgiveness, there is no such thing as forgiveness apart from the shedding of blood. You know,
your answer to the Lord's Prayer?
My answer to the Lord's Prayer is the cross of Jesus Christ.
So why did he say for us to say, forgive us our trespasses?
So that they, the disciples, would know exactly what Jesus accomplished in his death. And they figured it out, because after the cross, after Jesus' death on the cross, they had a complete shift in their thinking. For example, listen, Barbara. Paul said, for example, that we are to forgive others just as God in Christ has forgiven us. So forgiveness of others is now based on the finished work of Jesus Christ. What changed?
But are you saying... Are you saying after his death we are not to say the Lord's Prayer?
You can say it, and people say it every Sunday. I grew up saying it every single Sunday. You can say it, but you have to...
You're disqualifying what's in the Lord's Prayer.
No, I'm not. I'm saying look through everything that Jesus encouraged you to pray, and then ask the question, has that prayer been answered? If you've come to Christ, it says pray for daily bread. He's not talking about food. He's talking about food for the soul. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. When you come to Christ,
so are we not supposed to pray for it?
You already have the bread of life. Jesus Christ is your bread of life. You thank God that you have the bread of life living in you, that you have meaning and purpose because of your relationship with Christ. You thank God for that. He said his, you know, pray for his kingdom to come. His kingdom is here. He's ruling in and through us, his believers. He said, pray for forgiveness. And then he went on to say, if you don't forgive, your Father in heaven isn't going to forgive you. Is that true after the cross? That's what the Lord's Prayer said. And so you say, okay, I've prayed for that. How does God answer?
You only have to pray for it once? Or you don't have to pray for it at all. That's what you're saying. We don't need to pray for forgiveness, but I think we do.
Well, keep praying for forgiveness, Barbara. I'm not going to stop you from doing that. But I do want to challenge you. Ask how the Lord answers that prayer. Are you just forgiven?
You are forgiven.
And why? Why are you
forgiven? He tells us to ask.
No. Why are you forgiven? Because you ask? Or because Jesus shed his blood
on the cross.
Bingo. Jesus died once and for all so that you could be forgiven. And he says,
So what you're saying, though, is we can sin and we never have to ask
for
forgiveness.
Did I say that, Barbara? That's your conclusion? Yeah, it seems to. But I'm not saying that at all. What I want you to believe is this. I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. Have your sins been forgiven or haven't they?
They have.
Okay. They have. So.
But you just said pray for forgiveness when you're saying we don't have to.
No, Barbara, you're just twisting things around, and you don't need to twist things.
No,
don't
I'm
put things in my mouth. Yeah. Well, Barbara, we're going to. I said that's what the Lord's Prayer said. I said that's what the Lord's Prayer said, and I also said that Jesus Christ has answered that with his shed blood on the cross. The answer to the Lord's Prayer was his death, and he said there that forgiveness was secured. Then when we receive him, we receive forgiveness. We receive total forgiveness of sins, just as John wrote, your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I'm just encouraging people to believe that, to truly believe that at heart. Well, believe it. And then let that belief.
But I also believe that you have to pray.
Well, that's just double. That's just double talk. If you already have it, why are you asking for it? If God gave you a car, would you keep asking, I want a car, I want a car, I want a car? At some point, you have to step back and say thank you.
I'm sorry I called your show, and you have a good day.
Well, thanks, Barbara. We appreciate it. Well, again, it just boggles the mind.
Yeah.
It boggles the mind. Keep asking. If folks want to keep asking for forgiveness, man, I say keep asking. Keep asking. But at some point, you have to step back and say, what's the answer? Because your asking doesn't bring about forgiveness. There's only one thing that God accepted as far as forgiveness was concerned, and that was the blood of his son. In the Old Testament, if you sinned and you wanted forgiveness and you went to the priest and you said, oh, I feel so sorry because I sinned and I want to be forgiven, the priest would say, I don't care how sorry you are. I don't care that you've come to me and you've asked. There is no way for you to be forgiven until you bring a sacrifice. And when you bring a sacrifice and that animal has shed his blood on your behalf, then you can experience forgiveness. Then you can experience a release from that debt of sin, but not until.
Right.
It's the same thing with Jesus. His blood brought about forgiveness of sins. And in this new covenant, there is no place for sacrifice other than a sacrifice of praise, a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Jesus Christ is not going to shed his blood again. Jesus Christ is not going to descend from his heavenly place and take upon himself flesh and blood again and become a sacrifice again. He did it once for all. And the word of God says, believe it. Believe it to be true. You can feel sorry for your sin. You can ask God to forgive you all that you want. But eventually, if you're in tune with God's Spirit, if you're in tune with what the Word of God has to say, you will come to this point and say, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you stepped into my shoes and that you paid the penalty. The wages of sin is death, folks. It's big. It's not just a paddling. It's not just time out. It's not all of those things we think of as punishment.
Not going to the woodshed.
No, it is death.
Yeah.
And if God was going to do anything to us in regards to our sin, he would kill us. Why? Because the wages of sin is death.
Yeah.
But that wrath that was putting toward us, headed toward us, was turned aside by the precious blood of Jesus. And Jesus did something for us that we could not do for ourselves. And as a result of that, we can sing forth the praises of God, saying to the world that our sins have been forgiven.
Past tense.
That's basic gospel.
Yeah.
And if you don't believe that, you're not believing basic gospel. You're not believing what the Word of God has to say. You are believing your own understanding. You are leaning into your own understanding. You are believing traditions of man. You are not believing the clear teaching of the Word of God.
Yeah,
plain and simple.
Plain and simple. Well, a lively discussion, and this is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. We have some time remaining on the clock. Open lines, 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go to Bridgeport, Connecticut, and talk with Ricky. Hi, Ricky.
Yes, sir. How are you doing, sir?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you.
Okay, yes. I'm calling because I kind of disagree with you. I do understand that the Word of God says, talks about the blood of Jesus that pays the price.
Well, you just say that like the blood of Jesus is nothing. Come on now. Realize that the blood of Jesus is the precious blood of Jesus. There is nothing more valuable in life. Do not say, I just believe in the blood of Jesus as if it's nothing.
I know what I'm saying. Now, this is how you understand it. But I know deep in my heart how I feel about the blood of Jesus. I know what the blood of Jesus do for me. So you cannot express for me. You cannot tell me exactly how to say.
So what's your question, Ricky?
The blood of Jesus. My question is that the lady was talking to you about forgiveness. You said that once we sin, we no longer need to go to Jesus Christ and or go to God and ask for forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Yet in the book of First Peter, I don't have my Bible with me, but it says if we sin, and we all are sinners, if we sin, we can go to him and ask him for forgiveness, and he is just to forgive all our forgiveness. And we can see that.
Well, you're actually talking about 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and forgive. The passage doesn't say to ask for forgiveness. It simply says to agree with God concerning your sins. And it's an answer to 1 John 1:8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. It's an answer to 1 John 1:10. If we claim we have not sinned, We make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. He's describing people who did not believe that they sinned. He's describing people that actually did not believe Jesus came in the flesh. And so he's giving them an invitation to Christ, to come and be saved in Christ. And so if they're denying that they're sinful, then they are deceiving themselves and the truth is not in them. Those are lost people. If they will just confess their sins, they can do so knowing that God is faithful and just and that he has already shed his blood so that they could experience forgiveness in Christ. So I believe it's a passage to an unbeliever, and it's an apostolic invitation to come into real fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. That whole book is dealing with heretical teaching that had infiltrated the church. This was just one of those doctrines that were causing people to stumble. Folks were saying, you know, sin really doesn't matter. We get saved by knowledge, not by faith in Jesus Christ. And he's saying, hey, if you think you haven't sinned, you've deceived yourself. So this isn't...
I do have faith in Jesus Christ, and I know what the blood in Jesus Christ does for me. And
well,
I know
rest
once
in
I'm
that.
Saved, I'm saved for life.
Yeah, and Ricky,
but,
rejoice in that. What
yes,
you do...
I am rejoicing in that, but you cannot say, like, once we sin, it's okay just to continue to live your life.
I've never said that, Ricky. I've never said that, Ricky.
No, but that's how you explain it, sir.
No, I didn't.
Explain it like
no, I didn't. Ricky, we're not going to argue over that. You don't put words in my mouth, and I certainly won't put words in yours. But this gospel of Jesus Christ, see, Richard, it gets back to what is salvation. Mm-hmm. Salvation isn't forgiveness.
It is not.
Salvation is life. And it's being made alive in Christ. It's going from death to life. And it's Christ coming to live inside of us. So Christ has promised to change us. Christ has promised to conform us into his image. He has promised to complete that work. So once we come to Christ, he is going to continue to change us from the inside out. So we're going to see the life of Christ being expressed through us. So we're not going out and doing anything that we want. We're living under the control of God's Spirit. That's what salvation is. For us to fully come to this point of trusting Jesus to live his life in us, we have to know that our sins have been taken away. Otherwise, we're going to live in fear for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
And God does not want us to live in fear of punishment. He wants us to embrace this new life that we have in Christ.
Yeah, you've got to follow the logic of both positions to their conclusion. If I must ask for forgiveness in order to be forgiven, then if I don't ask, I would, by definition, have to be lost.
Yes.
If I am lost, Jesus has to die again. Jesus isn't going to die again. If I'm lost, I would be straight to hell. There would be no hope.
Right.
You can't have it both ways.
Right.
It's got to be Jesus does it all or Jesus does nothing. Jesus saves us or he doesn't save us. We are forgiven or we can't be forgiven. Never
right.
were forgiven.
Right.
You've got to come to conclusions.
Let's see the
on
black
this.
And white of it.
Yes.
And, you know, for so many people, their confession is more important to them than the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
I mean, it's just plain and simple. And that's why this gospel message really has no power in their lives. That's why they don't see change in their lives. That's why they don't see an excitement and a joy of knowing the Lord and knowing the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
And if people will really rest in the finished work of Christ, I guarantee you their relationship with the Lord will explode in a positive way, in ways that they've never dream possible. Well, let's go to Arlington, Virginia and talk to Kimberly. Hi, Kimberly.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great. How are you doing?
Good. I just want to say, first of all, that I absolutely love your ministry. It has really, really changed my life. I listen to it every day, And I wanted to call in because I heard Ruth and Barbara and your the caller right before me. And I wanted to actually reach out to them as well as, and I have another question, but I wanted to say how you're breaking down the doctrine of what we have known for so long, and with your ministry and how it has really changed my life, I'm free now.
Isn't that awesome?
I'm so free in Christ Jesus now. I just absolutely to embrace the finished work of Jesus Christ will just absolutely make you a new creature. I don't have to follow any more rituals or do this or do that or have anyone say that I'm cursed if I don't do this or that. I no longer have to embrace that doctrine. And this is doctrine that I've heard since I was a little girl. Yeah. And when I listen to you all and the way that you minister it to me, I embraced it. Of course, I got angry because it's something that I've
stepped
believed
on
all
your
of
toes,
my life.
Didn't it?
Huh?
It was stepping on your toes a little
it
bit.
It stepped on my toes, but when I accepted it and I accept the finished work of Christ and His forgiveness, like when I sin, I just said, "Oh, I didn't go through the ritual." I mean, when I heard that, when I first heard you talk about you don't have to continuously ask for forgiveness, Christ has already done that for you on the cross, I embraced that. And do you know what? When I embraced that, I have been so free right now. The sin becomes less.
Yeah.
I no longer
because the grace of God starts doing exactly what the Word of God says
gosh.
It will do.
It teaches
you to say no to sin and yes to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That's what
it
people are so afraid of, is that if they truly embrace this total forgiveness of sins, they're just going to go out and live like the devil. But
right.
The exact opposite happens. Why? Because
Amen.
The grace of God actually does exactly what the Word tells us it will do. It teaches us to say no. So, and that's when we experience real freedom. We experience the freedom from the punishment of sin through the shed blood of Christ. We experience freedom from the power of sin through the indwelling presence of God's Spirit. And boy, that's good news, isn't it?
That is, it's absolutely good news. But I do have one question.
Okay.
I actually like to, talk to new believers. And, you know, I've always been taught to use Romans 10:9-10 for any, if you want to, you know,
share your
word
faith.
Of God.
Yes.
Exactly, to use Romans 10:9-10. And I heard you tell someone, I think it was Ruth, about Ephesians 1:10. So I wanted to be sure what I should do when I'm sharing the Word of God with a new believer.
Well, I think Ephesians chapter 2 just really lays out our true condition apart from Christ. That's why I like that. But you will hear me, if somebody prays to receive Christ on the air, you will hear me use Romans 10:9-10 and just ask the question, do you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead? Do you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord? I think that's a powerful passage there. So I agree with you 100% on the importance of that passage.
Okay. Hey, thank you so much.
Hey, thank you for your call, Kimberly. We sure appreciate
welcome.
It. All right.
Thank
God
you.
Bless.
Bye-bye.
And thanks to everybody for joining us for this lively edition of Basic Gospel. We want to remind you that Basic Gospel is a totally listener-supported ministry on the air every day with the truth of God's grace and love. For your generous gift to the ministry this month, we have a special gift for you, a little booklet by Bob Christopher called Love Is. What's it about? Well, it helps to show what God's love really is and what God's love looks like. How does God express His love to us, and how does God's love impact our lives? It's all there in Love Is. Yours today for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To make your gift and request your copy, simply go online to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net, or call 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. That's 1-800-727-2828 for Love Is by Bob Christopher. And now for Bob and Richard Piper and the staff, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again Monday for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye.